This is Nightline.
Tonight, breaking news, the crackdown on college protests at Columbia University. The NYPD forcibly removing and arresting dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters who had barricaded themselves into a campus building. Plus, horrifying discovery, what we're learning about Colorado mom Suzanne Morphew, who went missing on Mother's Day 2020.
Did you have anything to do with the disappearance of your wife?
Absolutely not.
Explosive new details released in an autopsy report and the possible connection to something belonging to her husband.
I absolutely believe Barry Morphew was involved in my sister's death and disappearance.
The couple's children standing by their dad, once considered the prime suspect. Could Barry once again be in the prosecutor's crosshairs? And Dance Moms reunion.
Dance Moms, it blows my mind because it is now bigger than it ever was.
Years after the wildly popular reality show went off the air, cast members back together to remember the good.
Get your finger out.
And not so good old days.
That fight happened and then we never danced again.
What some of the now grown dancers say about instructor Abby Lee Miller.
Nice job, Chloe.
Plus, Robin Roberts is exclusive with Brittany Griner, the WNBA star opening up about her imprisonment in Russia, what she says shocked her just after her release.
You wrote that you were hoping to see someone else on that plane.
Nightline, we'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us. Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. College protests reaching a boiling point. At Columbia University a short time ago, the NYPD forcibly removing and arresting students and some outsiders who had broken into and barricaded themselves in an academic building after days of protests at an encampment on campus. ABC's Stephanie Ramos is on the ground at Columbia. Stephanie, what can you tell us?
Juju, here at Columbia University, more than 100 NYPD officers positioned themselves outside of the campus, many of them moving onto campus to remove student demonstrators. SWAT team members moving into Hamilton Hall, where demonstrators broke into Monday night. Sources telling us the building was heavily fortified by protesters. SWAT team members making their way into the hall from a second-story window. Police also here to clear the encampment that has been in place for almost 2 weeks. We've seen individuals escorted from campus in zip ties. The New York City mayor urging student demonstrators earlier Tuesday to leave campus. The mayor advising parents to call their students and tell them to disperse. Many of those student demonstrators deciding to stay in place. Juju.
Stephanie Ramos, thank you. We'll have much more on the protests overnight and on GMA tomorrow. We turn now to a major development in the case of the Colorado mother of two who disappeared nearly 4 years ago on Mother's Day. Her body not discovered until just last year. And now new autopsy results finds her cause of death, homicide. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
A bombshell development in the mysterious murder case of Colorado mother Suzanne Morphew, nearly 4 years after she vanished.
It might be the most shocking thing to date in this case.
A new toxicology report concluding Suzanne's death was a homicide and finding a chemical cocktail consistent with an animal tranquilizer in her bones.
The ultimate manner or cause of her death is unspecified, but this is giving us more answers to the questions we've long had.
For years, the case topping headlines and captivating the public.
A twist in the case of a missing Colorado mom.
New developments tonight in the disappearance of that Colorado mom.
Her husband, Barry Morphew, initially charged with first-degree murder and evidence tampering. Last May, he spoke exclusively to ABC News with his daughters Macy and Mallory by his side. Barry maintaining his innocence and claiming his life has been ruined by false accusations.
Did you have anything to do with the disappearance of your wife?
Absolutely not.
You never had a shred of doubt once you heard the evidence from law enforcement against your dad. You never had a shred of doubt that your dad was completely innocent.
I've never had a shred of doubt.
Not one.
It all began on Mother's Day back in 2020. Suzanne's family says she went on a solo bike ride near their home in Salida, Colorado. When the 49-year-old didn't return, Barry asked a neighbor to call police. At the time, Barry was reportedly near Denver, over 3 hours away. Before her disappearance, Suzanne was fighting cancer.
I know that she was going through chemotherapy for the last couple of years before her disappearance, and I know she was going through some hard things and made some bad decisions. But
what kind of bad decisions?
She was really having trouble with the chemotherapy and the drugs.
In addition to struggling with her health, prosecutors say Suzanne was having an affair with a high school friend who authorities ruled out as a suspect.
When you found out that Suzanne was having an affair, what was your first thought?
My heart was broken. I didn't believe it. Anybody that knows her wouldn't have believed it, and I didn't believe it.
Barry denies the marriage was in trouble.
We had a wonderful life, wonderful marriage. She was just so loving and giving and such a good mother.
But a 100-plus page affidavit from the district attorney filed in May of 2021 presents a different story. Prosecutors offering text messages which appear to show a strained marriage. Suzanne referring to Barry as Jekyll and Hyde, and just before she disappeared, telling Barry, "I'm done." Suzanne's sister telling an FBI investigator that in the months leading up to her disappearance, Suzanne had come to realize what a narcissist her husband Barry was. And she shared a text message she says Suzanne sent her days before she was reported missing, saying he's also been abusive emotionally and physically.
She revealed to me that she had really kind of come out of her denial about her marriage and that there was a lot of unrest in the home.
According to the affidavit, Melinda telling investigators when she found out that Suzanne was missing, she said, "Damn it, damn it, damn it," to herself because she was certain that Barry killed her.
I absolutely believe Barry Morphew was involved in my sister's death and disappearance.
Law enforcement, the DAs, believed that they had their guy. What do you say to that?
They're wrong. They've got tunnel vision, and they looked at one person, and they've got too much pride to say they're wrong and look somewhere else.
In April of 2022, prosecutors dropped all charges against Barry just before his trial was supposed to begin. Part of the reason? Prosecutors were barred from calling key witnesses and didn't turn over evidence to the defense, including DNA found in Suzanne's car linked to a man with a history of sexual assault.
These charges were dropped without prejudice, which means if authorities feel like there's more evidence, they could charge you again. Do you live with fear of that?
Well, I was innocent the first time they arrested me, so I'm sure it's possible. But I don't have anything to worry about. I've done nothing wrong.
Just months after our 2023 interview, last September, authorities discovered Suzanne's remains in a shallow grave 45 miles south of the family home. Back in 2021, the arrest affidavit said a needle cap for a tranquilizer dart was found in the dryer inside bed sheets. At the time, in his defense, Barry claimed he shot a deer with that tranquilizer dart and said he disposed of the tranquilizer solution. The toxicology report released yesterday officially determining Suzanne's death was a homicide and finding a chemical cocktail consistent with an animal tranquilizer in her bones, noting these drugs are marketed as a compounded injectable chemical immobilizer for wildlife.
The fact that Barry Morphew has already been on the record of saying that he does go hunting with tranquilizer darts and that a cap was found in his clothes in the dryer does create more of a problem for him. However, prosecutors will have to connect the specific drug that was found in Suzanne Morphew's body with that was owned by Barry Morphew and not just any run-of-the-mill tranquilizer.
We reached out to the family after the autopsy findings, and they told us through their attorney they are skeptical about the integrity of this investigation. Authorities previously told ABC News they are not ruling out future charges.
Prosecutors will more likely than not present the evidence they already had against Barry Morphew with this now new autopsy to a grand jury. And if a grand jury feels there's sufficient evidence for an indictment, Barry Morphew or anyone connected to the murder of Suzanne Morphew would be charged.
And as Suzanne's family awaits justice, they are keeping her memory alive.
It's important for people to remember that. Although time has gone by, she will not be forgotten, and I will not stop speaking for her.
Our thanks to Ariel. When we come back, the cast of Dance Moms reunites and unpacks their memories of trying to please notorious instructor Abby Lee Miller.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. You know, Dance Moms was wildly popular, in part thanks to the drama that surrounded Abby Lee Miller, a tough instructor who accepted no excuses from her young dancers. Some of those dancers reuniting, spilling the tea on their time learning the ropes.
I just really hope this reunion shows a little bit more of our personalities because we weren't really old enough to speak up and use our voices and show our true personalities.
Dance Moms is back. 13 years after its debut, members of the popular reality show, now fully grown, reuniting in a new special.
Dance Moms, it blows my mind because it is now bigger than it ever was.
It was literally the stepping stone into who we are today. Yeah. We would not be here without Dance Moms.
Yeah.
The reunion airs tomorrow on Lifetime, which is owned by Disney, the parent company of ABC News.
One thing that I've learned, like...
Reflecting on the show that made them famous, Kendall Vertes, Chloe Lukasiak, sisters Paige and Brooke Hyland, Kalani Hilliker, and JoJo Siwa.
That fight happened, and then we never danced again.
I forgot how intense that was.
But not everyone came back. The other stars, Maddie and Mackenzie Ziegler and Nia Su, noticeably absent from the reunion.
I think everyone knows who's not here. Maybe they just don't think they needed this.
Some people might still be processing, yeah. And it's hard to talk about some of the stuff that we went through.
They, like, close the book and they don't want to backtrack.
The one-time tween dancers, now in their 20s, grappling with mixed feelings about their former instructor, Abby Lee Miller, who also did not participate in the reunion.
I definitely have a way different relationship with Abby, I think, than anybody. I do credit a lot of my thick skin and my ability to handle good news, bad news to Abby.
Let me make something clear. I don't give her credit for my success. I went on to be successful in spite of her, not because of her.
For 8 seasons, Dance Moms rocked reality TV. Audiences watched the budding dancers learn to compete. Their moves, charming and graceful. Their mother's attitudes, sometimes less so.
Why are you yelling at us?
I'm yelling at my friend.
Then you're yelling at
Shush.
Her. You had too much to drink. Oh, you better settle it down.
Abby Lee Miller's sometimes harsh critiques of her young dancers sparking controversy on the show.
Chloe, don't cry. Be smarter. 8 means 8, not 9.5, not 10. 8. Can't count 8.
The girls' mothers often tussling with Abby, standing up for their daughters. Like this defining moment when mom Kelly Hyland exited the show in dramatic fashion.
Is your mother
Get
speaking
your
for
finger
you?
Do
you
out
want
of
to be
my
here?
Face.
Girls out the room.
Yeah,
girls
you would eat
out the
it.
Room.
Kelly, Brooke and Paige's mom, also joined the reunion, along with fellow dance mom Jill Vertes, Kendall's mom. The women describing the show's lasting impact on their families.
I think if that didn't happen, that they would probably still dance. I mean, they would have been on the dance team at college or something, and they do no dance, none. And that's sad to me, because that was their life, you know? I just feel like it's all my fault.
Kelly has not spoken to Abby since the day she left the show.
Why go back to a reunion show?
Well, it was easier
for me, because we kind of been talking about it, and I didn't leave on the bad or horrible terms like some of the moms did. I'm not ashamed of what Kendall and I did, and you know, and I'm kind of proud of it now, because it has brought really good things to my young adult.
Each girl has carved their own path since leaving the show.
This is going to be a little controversial to say, I think, but to me, Abby was always right. I did interrupt two adults talking. If I was a mess and a beat off, she wasn't just yelling at me because she wanted to yell at me. I actually was a mess and was a beat off. One thing that I've learned, like, really working insane in Hollywood is that's normal.
JoJo Siwa went on to have a full-blown Hollywood career. The now 20-year-old pop star is climbing the music charts with her hit Karma.
I was a bad girl. I did some bad things. I swear I did it all for fun.
Before her rebrand, she was known for her colorful personality and fluorescent hair bows, appearing on Disney shows like The J-Team.
Hey, JoJo!
Then dancing in the first ever same-sex pairing on Dancing with the Stars, coming in second place. Kalani went on to be a dance teacher and has her own dancewear line. Kendall continues to dance too on the James Madison University dance team.
A lot of people really only saw the bad side of Abby. She was a great dance teacher and she knew what she was talking about, and I mean, I can thank her for making me the person I am today, whether it was good or bad experiences, but she knew what she was doing.
Chloe created a new kind of dance competition called Elevé.
I was like, let's start a new age of positive, uplifting, encouraging environments where dancers can actually thrive, not just kind of survive.
Sisters Paige and Brooke Hyland no longer dance, but thanks to their dance mom's fame, are influencers working on a clothing line. But Paige says she doesn't have a lot of memories from her time on Dance Moms.
I think I kind of blocked it out of my memory totally.
Do you go back and look at it and have certain feelings or thoughts?
We weren't allowed to watch it. I only have seen like clips on TikTok, and my coping mechanism was kind of just blocking it out. I will see a dance that I was on stage, I at one point knew the choreography, had that costume on my body, knew the song, and I'm like, am I in this one? And then I'll see myself and I'm like, oh, that is me.
You literally blocked it out.
For some of these dancers, the reunion proving a place to heal all these years later.
When we did the reunion, it made me realize that I still had a lot of unhealed emotions, and I'm working through them, though I think I'm at a really good place in life.
I didn't really know what to expect, not seeing them in so many years. I wasn't nervous, but I went in there with an open mind, just being like, these have been my best friends. And the second we locked eyes, it felt like we've never left.
The Dance Moms reunion airs tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on Lifetime. When we come back, Robin Roberts is exclusive with WNBA superstar Brittany Griner.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. Our Robin Roberts sat down with WNBA star Brittany Griner, who shared her emotional account of what it was like being imprisoned in Russia and the moment she was told she was finally coming home.
They sent a note to you.
It said, be ready to leave. And I saw that paper and I was so thrilled.
And then you get on the plane.
I didn't know where we were going, though. I had no idea where the trade was going to be.
You wrote that you were hoping to see someone else on that plane.
Mm-hmm.
You were hoping to see Paul Whelan.
Mm-hmm. When I walked on and I didn't see him, I was like, okay, maybe I'm early. Maybe, you know, maybe he's next. Maybe they're going to bring him next. And when they closed the door, I was like, are you seriously not going to let this man come home right now?
And being traded for a person known as the Merchant of Death, there were some Americans who thought that wasn't a fair trade, mm-hmm. that this was a heinous criminal. Mm-hmm. And to be traded when it should have been perhaps somebody else. What do you say to those who felt it wasn't a balanced trade?
If it was left up to me in that trade, I would have went and got Paul and brought him home. But any time that we can bring home an American, that is a win for Americans. No one should be left behind.
Our thanks to Robin. We'll have more of her exclusive interview with Brittany tomorrow on GMA, and the full primetime interview will run on 2020 tomorrow night at 10 p.m. That's Nightline for tonight. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.